I don't know if you noticed my tie, but it was a Father's Day gift. Not this year, previous years. A lot of my Father's Day gifts have to do with golfing over the years. And the sad thing is they have such negative pictures of golf on there. Whether you're under the water or whether you have all kinds of excuses. And I am just always thankful that our kids are going to get it back. Their kids are going to start buying them Father's Day gifts, and then they will find out where it is at. But Father's Day is a pretty special day. But I want to, what is it that makes a dad's hair turn gray? A father passed by his son's bedroom, and he was astonished to see the bed was nicely made up and everything neat and tidy. Then he saw an envelope propped up on the pillow, and it was addressed, "Dad." With a worse premonition, he opened the envelope and read the letter with trembling hands. "Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I've been finding real passion with Joan, and she is so nice. I knew you would not approve of her because of all her piercings, tattoos, tight motorcycle clothes, and the fact that she's so much older than I am. It's not just her passion, Dad. She really gets me. Joan says that we're going to be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood, just enough for the whole winter. We share a dream of having many children. Please don't worry, Dad. I'm 15, and I know how to take care of myself. I'm sure we'll get back to visit someday so you can get to know your grandchildren. Your son, Chad. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Tommy's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than the report card that's in my desk drawer. I love you. Call me when it's safe to come home. This is why you get gray hair. Parenting has its ups and its downs, doesn't it? A parenting journey can be challenging. You know, there are the good things, there are the bad things that happen. They're both there. There's times we're on the mountaintop, there's times that we're in the valley. But you know what? God never leaves or forsakes us in any of that. God never leaves or forsakes us in any of that. You know, a while back, if you want to turn with me to Psalm 78, a while back when I was speaking on children, I used this passage as well. And I want to go back to that. You see, in our parenting, the journey that we are on, we leave a legacy. We leave a heritage for our children. And so I want to speak on parenting legacies and the legacies that we leave. And Psalm 78, the first 8 verses, are a neat passage when you think as the psalmist here reflects on the children of Israel's journey. He says in verse 1 of Psalm 78, he says, "O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children." You know, verses 5 and 6 there were one of the purposes, one of the things that happen in our families is that things get passed on. Jay Otis Ledbetter and Kurt Bruner had a neat article on legacies And some of the things, I'd like to share some of the things that they said in this article with us this morning. They say this, they say, no matter who we are, where we live, or what our goals may be, we all have one thing in common, and that's a heritage. A social, emotional, and spiritual legacy passed on from parent to child. Every one of us is passed a heritage, lives out a heritage, and gives a heritage to our family. It's not an option. Parents will always pass to their children a legacy, good, bad, or more than likely, some of both. They go on to say that this spiritual, emotional, and social legacy is like a three-stranded cord. Individually, each of these would be very fragile and would easily tear. But if you put the emotional, the social, and the spiritual legacy together, it becomes a strong rope. You know, today's world, probably not so different from just about any other era, generation, that if we are not intentional about passing on a legacy, a heritage to our families, it's not going to happen. We're actually going to allow our culture, we're going to allow everything else to build a heritage. We will not be the ones guiding it, steering it. It's important for us to remember that a heritage will happen, right? We received one, we're living one, and we're passing one on. Martha and I have been doing a fair bit of reading on this, on extending our heritage. See, one stage of it may be finished for us as far as raising our children, but there's a new dimension to our heritage. There's a new dimension to extending the legacy that is there. You see, legacies and heritages, they're not about an event, but rather they're a process. There's something that spans the years of our lives. Let's look at the emotional legacy. The emotional legacy. Can you imagine yourself giving to your family warm memories? Only good memories. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could parent without mistakes? If we could give to our children or had given to our children a legacy that had no mistakes in it? Well, that's not a possibility. But it is a possibility to pass on a heritage, a legacy, memories that are secure, that are peaceful, that are joyful, that our children will think back to. You can create an atmosphere that will provide a child's fragile spirit with the nourishment and the support needed for healthy emotional growth. It's going to require time, it's going to take consistency, it's going to take persistence, but it can be done. A strong emotional legacy will do this. A strong emotional legacy in your home provides a safe environment. Okay? Is your home a place of safety, of security? A strong emotional legacy will do that. It will provide a safe environment in which the emotions can take root and they will begin to grow in a child. A strong emotional legacy fosters confidence in children. It conveys a tone of trusting support. It nurtures in our children a strong sense of their self-identity, of who they are. It creates a resting place for the soul. The home, when the children come home and they open that door and they enter your house, they enter your yard, it should be a place of rest, of security. I'm home. I can be myself. I can relax. A strong emotional legacy demonstrates unconditional love. Our children do not need to earn our love. It is given unconditionally. And then there's the social legacy. The social legacy, if our children are going to prosper as adults, then where are they going to gain insights? Where are they going to learn social skills? Where will they learn what it takes or what it means to have a healthy relationship? Where will they learn how to work through conflict? Where will they learn not to give up even when there's misunderstanding? All those things, the best place for them to learn them is at home. It is actually nowhere, the home is the first and the primary place where these things happen. If you think back, it is at home where you learned your lessons on respect, on courtesy, on love. It is there that you began to be involved in a family and you learned what that is. If you think of it, some of the keys that help our children to build that social element of who they are, some building blocks is maybe what we could call them. The first one probably that would be at the very top would be respect. Not just beginning, or let's say beginning with respect for themselves and then respect for others. Responsibility is another building block. Responsibility, this is fostered by respect for others, but it is cultivated as children learn to do their assigned tasks, as they learn to live within the duties and within the structure of a family. And the family holds them accountable for their actions, and yet at the same time gives them room to make wrong choices. Unconditional love and acceptance by their parents. Probably one of the keys, the thread that would go through all of this. Unconditional love and acceptance by their parents. If we feel accepted by someone as we are, with all of our, with who we are as a person, with all of our weaknesses, with our strengths, then we flourish. A key building block is also setting social boundaries concerning how to relate to God, how to relate to authority, peers, the environment, siblings. This isn't all a free fall, but they learn as they set boundaries in how to respond in these things. Rules. Rules that are given in a loving relationship. Not rules that are there in a dictatorial type of a situation, dictatorship. But rules given in a loving relationship. These help to pass on a social legacy that when children become adults, they're not lost. They know how to respond in relationships. And the third one, the spiritual legacy. For parents who can successfully pass along a spiritual legacy to their children, you have modeled an unseen reality that is very, very precious. You know, it is important that the church be involved in your lives. It's important that the church has a responsibility to the family. But you know what, parents? The home is the primary place for where spiritual truth is caught. Yes, taught as well, but more so, it is caught. When children consider who God is, who Jesus is, their first impressions of God as will come from the parents. How can you pass along the strong spiritual heritage? Well, the first thing would be to acknowledge and reinforce spiritual realities. Do your children know, for example, that Jesus loves everyone? Do they know that God is personal, that God is loving, that God will forgive us? Do they view God as a personal God? Do you model that before them? That they see God as a God who cares, a God who is to be loved and respected, but who is still personal. Are spiritual activities a routine in your home? Is it just Sunday morning, Sunday school, maybe youth, maybe different activities? Or is it a norm every day that the spiritual is a part of the routine, a part of the blanket of your family? Do you clarify timeless truths, what is right and what is wrong? Incorporating spiritual truths, spiritual principles into everyday life. These are the things that help us to pass on. We are living a heritage right now, but we're also passing on an emotional, a social, and a spiritual heritage to our children. Verse 8 is also a part of this passage that we're reading. And it gives us a glimpse into something that is there for probably many of us and probably all of us to some degree. Why is it that we are to be passing along this positive, this teaching them about the Scriptures, teaching them the praiseworthy deeds of God? Verse 8 says, so that they would not... So that the next generation, those that we are sharing this truth with, the children in our home, so that they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose heart were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. It is sad, but it is true that many of us struggle to overcome a negative legacy. A legacy that hinders our very ability to cope with the inevitable struggles of life. We all have good and bad parts to our legacy. We're human. None of us grew up in a perfect home. And so as you start, we have young couples starting marriage. We have different stages of parenthood here in our church. But where you are at today, as you move forward from here, you will continue to build a legacy. So what can you do? Well, how can you move forward? You need to move forward by looking at your past, that which was given to you. And then what do? You decide what you will keep. Whatever you received, you can now intentionally pass along that which is good, and then to decide to leave that which wasn't good. And with that which wasn't good, you need to realize this, that God can redeem the bad stuff from our heritage. God can redeem that. And He can change it around. You can break the cycle. As I was studying for this, I ran across by these Otis and this other gentleman, Bruner. They had an evaluation or a questionnaire in each of these areas as you look back into your past. And I did it. And you've heard me share of some of the struggles I had with my father and some of the struggles I had growing up. But you know what really helped me to go back through my growing up years and to go through these questions and look at them? I saw some good things there. And you know what? I was pleasantly surprised, and I went back and I wondered, had I been honest? And I looked at it again and I saw more good then I would just attribute to it if I would look at my relationship there. Why? Because when you really begin to be point blank and looking at it, you see that there are some good things. It wasn't all bad. And then you begin to sieve it, right? And you take out the bad, but you leave the good and you pass along the good. We do have bad, and we do have things that are awful, like Elaine. Jan Coates, is the founder and president of Set Free Today. And she tells Elaine's story. Let me read it for you. Elaine knew evil. She experienced it. She lived in terror of it. Personifying evil was her corrupt father, a man known in the community to associate with bad company. In fact, he was the head guy of his gang. His lust for crime, corruption, control, and violence worsened with each passing day. His behavior at home was the same as it was with his gang. Elaine's father physically and emotionally wounded his wife, children, and anyone in his way. Because of him, everyone called her child of evil. Elaine's words attest to her vehement disgust with her father's evil ways. She says, "My deepest fear was that I would grow up to be like my dad. When he beat me, I hoped he would kill me. Being dead would be better than growing up to be like him." Elaine felt like two persons. One person was unwillingly dragged into the horror-filled world that she would and could inherit because of her father. The other met Jesus at Vacation Bible School. The other memorized John 3:16 and learned to sing "Jesus Loves Me." Years after father's death, Elaine discovered the battle was still raging when she became engaged to marry Jack, a pre-med student and a man dedicated to Christ. In premarital counseling, the pastor uncovered her deep emotional scars and fears. "Pastor, I'm afraid I will become like my father, who was cruel and corrupt," Elaine said. "I don't want to be the child of evil." The pastor referred her to John 1:12-13, and he said that the moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you became a permanent member of God's family. You are no longer the same person. You are not a child of evil, but a child of God. After years of counseling and Bible study, Elaine began to see herself as God sees her. "Each time Satan would try to tell me I was doomed because of my father," says Elaine, "I would reread who my Heavenly Father says I am." Jan goes on to say that today and every day is a new beginning for followers of Christ. We deliberately, consciously remind ourselves that our past identities are just that, history. We have new identities. We're born of God. We're fully adopted with all the benefits of His naturally born children. Through God's mercy, we call Him Abba, Father, or Daddy. We can also expect to share in the inheritance of His only begotten Son, Jesus. The Holy Spirit transforms our nature into that of Christ's. We will, over time, see evidence in our lifestyles. Patience, gentleness, kindness, love, become a natural part of our life. Daily, our entire spiritual selves become more like Christ. As we grow in God, we develop a new self-image. The old self-image, filled with negative impressions and difficult life experiences, disappears forever. Self-destructive behaviors, alcohol, drugs, eating disorders, promiscuity, poor health habits, negative attitudes, threats of suicide, they fade away as we surrender our old self to the Lord. Every Christian, she says, every Christian alive is a work of progress, a work in progress, each with a unique growth and change process. This process will continue for all of us until we're standing face to face with Jesus himself. It continues until our Father welcomes us home with the greeting of my child. You know, Josiah in the Old Testament is probably one of the best examples of breaking a cycle, of coming out of a family that was corrupted and that was evil, known for its evil. Josiah, at a very young age, was rescued by his nurse and brought up in the temple, brought up by the high priest and a nurse. And you know what? There are times in our lives when our past is littered with negative things that we need other people to function, to be examples for us of what a father should be, what a mother should be, what it is, what God is like. We need other people, and like Josiah had these people pouring themselves into his life, and at age 8, when he became king, he brought reform, and he changed things, and he used his life to God's glory. And so we can be Josiahs. Like Josiah, we can choose which things in our legacy are good and which things are not good and we want to throw away. We can choose to break the cycle of hurt by leaving bad things behind and creating a new legacy. We can choose to chart a new course and begin a positive legacy for ourselves and for those that we love. Leaving a legacy. All of us will leave a legacy. What kind of a legacy are you going to leave? You are going to leave a legacy. What kind of a legacy was left to you? What kind of a legacy are you living in today? We can pass on to the next generation a legacy of the praiseworthy deeds of God. May we do that. May we seek for the help of brothers and sisters in Christ. May we seek the help of counseling if that is needed in order to help us to deal with the negative things that may be in our past that we had no control over. May God help us that the legacies that we leave will bring honor and glory to His name. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for what You want to do and are doing in our lives. Lord, I am glad that for each of us, it's not the past that need control us. It's not the past that needs to determine our future. Thank You that with Your help, we can break cycles. We can find the healing that is so, the healing of our wounded hearts, our wounded spirits, and we can move on. That we can leave a strong emotional, social, and spiritual legacy for those that we love. Help us, Lord. Use us, guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.